Welcome to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner. Carrie believes if you want to experience clarity in business and in life, then discovering who you are, why you're here, and where you're going is a must. The Igniting Souls podcast is dedicated to help you do just this. And now, here's Carrie.
Hey everybody, I am here with my good friend Alex Freitag. How you doing today, Alex?
Great, Carrie. Great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, listen, man, we are going to be talking about a very important topic on two levels. One is, I think there's really two types of people that should be listening. One is people who are business owners, because we're going to be talking all about vision works, and you have this fantastic model that we're going to dive into. The other people that I think should watch this are authors. I have a big following of authors. And here's what I want the authors to realize. Alex actually republished his book. And I've done that three different times with different books. And it totally makes sense to republish a book for different reasons. We're going to talk about the pros and the cons. And we'll get into some of that backstory as well. But Alex, first of all, tell us about the original title of the first book and why you wrote it the first time.
Yes. Well, the first book was called Achieve Your Vision. It was this little guy here. And yes. It was great. It was in my head. I had to get it out of my head because I'd been thinking about, as many of us have, writing a book for years and just hadn't like pulled the trigger. And so I was able to get myself disciplined enough to get it out. This is back in 2015. And because I'm very passionate about the topic, and Achieve Your Vision, although is an appropriate title for what I'm trying to help business owners do, it's sort of ambiguous.
Yeah.
So, you know, it sat there. It's a great short read for a business owner to kind of understand maybe how I think and philosophy a little bit about what I do. Mm-hmm. But I think, as we went through over the last several years, the business model has shifted, and I saw an opportunity to update it, really.
Yes. Hold that Vision Works front and center, because I want to unpack this for
the new guy.
Do that one, and then let's do this side by side. Yes.
There you go.
All right, so folks,
you got to vote
which one you like better.
I know.
And here's why I'm going to unpack the Achieve Your Vision. Folks, there's no subtitle, okay? And Alex, I listened to that on audio. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Downloaded it right away. But yeah, from an author standpoint, there's no subtitle. Now read your current book subtitle.
Yeah. That's, you know, Awaken the Earning Mindset, Bridge the Missing Profit Link, and Cultivate Untapped Potential.
And, I love that.
You know, it starts to move things in your brain, I think, as you read it, and start to have a much deeper understanding of what the book's going to be about. And, much of the content is the same, Carrie, but I was able to rework primarily the introduction and the conclusion, and really make it reflect what I'm doing today. So
absolutely,
it was a great kind of like stair step up.
Well, and you even got, I love the front, the new cover, because we got to talk about this. There's some psychology. Yeah. You have A, B, C. Right.
Yeah, that. That's true.
That's right. That's right.
Right here. And then the mountains, you could see back in this one, there are, you know, I did want to get that in because, you know, as you and I know, Tom Bauer, my business partner, and I have taken these hikes. This is Mount Kilimanjaro back here. And so we wanted to kind of capture that here in a way to honor the past.
But you've buried some secrets in the mountains.
Oh, I do. I have this. You can see the dollar sign there. And I'll talk a little bit about that. And that kind of matches this guy, which, you know.
Yes.
You've got the whole.
It's so good.
I think you taught me that two makes a series.
Yes, absolutely.
Does not have to
now
be.
He's got a series. And I'll never forget. I was working out with my buddy, Chet. And I called you and I said, Alex, I think we've got the new title. I don't know if you remember this, but I don't know. It's weird epiphanies come when I'm working out, but I said, it's got to be Vision Works. And again, it's always scary to get a new title. Sometimes it's so simple, it's staring in front of us. But why is Vision Works the title so significant?
Yeah, it's, well, number one, it's somewhat of a prequel to Profit Works. And that's important to sort of track the path of the sort of evolution of our work. And so Profit Works, if you remember, we were tinkering around with a title called Intention.
Yes.
Very complicated. If people were searching on the word intention and in two words, intention, and it was too clever. And so you sort of suggested, hey, Profit Works. And so when we went back to republish Achieve Your Vision, we thought let's marry those up. And Vision Works just really worked. And so it's direct. It's very, very related to the original title.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm talking to the entrepreneur and to the business owner. I'm saying your vision works when, you know, and then these other things, when we have complete alignment throughout the organization and so forth. So it fits very nicely. And it also creates connection between the books as well.
I love it.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at some notes here that we took. Basically, this book is for people that are frustrated. Talk about this whole thing about why does vision fade over time? Why can we lose our vision? How do we renew the vision? There's a lot of business owners watching right now, and they're solopreneurs, they're entrepreneurs. Why is vision so critical?
Yeah. It's been a long lesson for me. I'm a slow learner, I suppose. but when we first started the business in 1996, we wanted to teach employees about sort of basic financial education. And, you know, that really took a long time to get legs. And when we think about why would a business owner want to teach employees about sort of business literacy and financial education, it came back to if the employee understands sort of how precious profit is at the bottom line, they'll start to see the business through the eyes of an owner almost. And, you know, they don't have equity, that kind of thing, but they can still think like an owner and start to see how we can take care of the customer better if we did this right the first time, or, you know, oh, this costs money if we use more material than we need or whatever. They start to think. And it's exciting for them because they become enrolled in the business in a bigger way. And so when the business owner starts to show them, we would do surveys. This is in the late 90s. It asked the employees, when you think about this organization, what percent of sales would you guess is profit? And we would do this as a pre-workshop questionnaire. And the average, we saw ranges of the answers from all over the place, but the average was about 50% is what most employees think profit is as a percentage of total sales. And the truth is it's closer to 10, maybe 8 or 5, you know, it's in that low range. It's like a dime or a nickel of every dollar in sales is left over for profit. And then we have to pay taxes out of that. So you take this. And so this precious little tiny little pennies down there, and boy, what could we do? We say to the workforce, if we can increase that just by a couple of pennies, or, you know, get up into whatever percentage, because I look at the term industry average, like, oh, our industry average is 8%, you know, and that's average. Like we want to be above average. We want to be best in class. We want to create a culture, a winning culture, winning workplace. And those companies aren't doing average. They're doing way above average. So it was that kind of potential that the business owner saw, that if I can pull my employees into this and to help them see what I see and how precious this is, maybe they'll take steps to help drive improvements in the business. It's certainly a lot more fun when there are fewer headaches as well. So
one person from Canada just posted that they used to work at a bookstore and the profit was 2% of the sales. Let's talk about that, Alex, because you know, We're just gonna talk about the elephant in the room. There's a lot of people right now with the pandemic, the coronavirus. They basically say, how can you ask people for a sale in a pandemic? I mean, don't you realize, you know, everyone's blah 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 blah. You know, what do you say to someone like that? Because we have these two competing thoughts. One is people are crushing it right now in the pandemic. Yeah. And there's certain people who are like, oh my gosh, their businesses are exploding. And then there's other people who have very low confidence and they almost feel like they can't sell.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a great point. And I have a sort of a philosophy around that word, selling. And, you know, it truly is we're helping. I mean, if you, as a business owner believe that you're helping people through your product or service, I think that mindset is super important.
Oh, that's
good. So, you know, it's not like a, you know, the standard kind of used car salesman mentality that we're talking about. We're talking about, creating a product or delivering a service, that kind of thing that is helping people get what they want.
And wow. That's so good. Now, does VisionWorks does the new version dive into that?
It does. Yeah. I mean, it gets into the idea that in order to enroll the employees, you first have to have a leadership team, the owner and the key leadership team, which is usually 3 to 7 members of the sort of the senior staff, be completely 100% aligned. They have to be on the same page with where the company's going, how they're going to get there. And that vision that the leadership team creates is not just out of the owner's head, but that team agrees on that vision. And so the marketing strategy that they put together to help that vision start to take place, so we'll start to pull in a lot of the language around helping others, you know, helping by providing this service or that product or what it is they're passionate about and what their niche is. Mm-hmm. And through EOS, Gary, you know, the
entrepreneur. I love EOS.
Yeah, the VTO is the tool we use, the Vision Traction Organizer. And these are references to a book called Traction, you know, by Gino Wickman. Yeah, which is like our, there you go, bam. That's the great book. And so the language we use versus we're selling this product or we're selling the service is very important. Words matter in a big way. And, you know, I do get into that. A lot of teams, for example, use the term division.
Yeah.
And, you know, this XYZ division or that division out there. And the word division, if you think about it, just is the exact opposite of what we're trying to do. We're trying to create cohesion, one company. And so that's why I think it's important.
I love that. So you really are saying in VisionWorks that some of the words we use, some of the terms we've adopted, they're not helpful. They're actually keeping people down. One of the things that really stuck out to Sherry, who just jumped in, she loves that think like an owner.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that. So, you know, there's the old scarcity employer who says, I don't want these people to learn what's behind the curtain, because then they might leave me. And everything's, you know, about fear and control. And then you have other employers who are like, man, I want my employees to just grow up and keep learning. And if they stay with me, great. If they don't, talk about the difference.
That's huge, Kerry. It's really important to me. And it's exciting to me. This is 25 years ago, we started the business. And so it's like, I've seen so many different businesses and all different areas of that spectrum and that continuum. And it's in the book, I talk about trust and credibility as sort of the basis. And the idea is around transparency that you're talking to. So if as a business owner, you believe that your folks can't understand this, you're probably not even going to take steps to go down this path. And that's fine. But as you get across the spectrum into, you've got sort of radical transparency where you're sharing so much information and even companies that share like salaries and stuff, which I think is a little crazy, but we're talking about sort of sharing a limited amount of information with the workforce, which helps build trust. You know, and the key tenet is in the absence of information, people make up their own story. And as a business owner, you have a choice then. If you keep all the information to yourself, number one, you're putting a lot of the burden on your own shoulders. And many brains, I've found, make the work a bit lighter. And so to the degree you begin to share some information, and I'm not suggesting like balance sheets and cash flow and trying to make it too complicated. We're not trying to get folks to be, you know, just, you know, finance experts, but help them understand the simplicity of, for example, of the income statement, that sales minus expenses equals profit, and just that simple formula. That level of transparency starts to build trust. And especially, you know, my big aha was I'd go into a company and train with the employees. You know, we'd customize it with some of the company's financial information, and we'd go away, and then nothing would change. And what I realized is it was repetition. It can't be a one and done kind of deal. It has to be part of the fabric of the culture on a longer term basis. So in EOS, we teach quarterly state of the company meetings to communicate with the entire workforce. You know, here's where we are. You know, here's where we've been the last 90 days or so, and here's where we're going. Here's the vision, the future, and reinforce. And it gives you an opportunity to hit that lesson again around profit or the income statement. And so that continuous reinforcement and repetition is so critical. And that's where we saw the change in the cultures in a much bigger way. When the leadership team and the owners committed to that type of transparency on a more continuous basis, the trust builds, you start to see, like you mentioned, elephants in the room. You'll start to see really like long-term like issues or skeletons or whatever start to come out that, finally, we can solve this thing. It's been sitting there for so long. And because it's trust, people trust, okay, I'm not going to get shot here. I can perhaps have an idea that's, you know,
that's
that has
so good. Yeah. I love what Tanisha puts here. She puts awaken the earning mindset in your employees and banish the entitlement mentality. So you're basically, I mean, I got three teenagers almost, two, one's close. There comes this point with teenagers where they just think, oh, the money comes from everywhere. Like, hey, nothing costs anything, you know, and they don't understand. I remember calling my parents when I got out of the house and just saying like, sorry and thank you. You
know? Like, they just said, I know what you mean. Okay.
Please. Yeah. Yeah. So you're kind of saying that though, like you're kind of saying that a lot of employers treat their employees like kids, where it's just, hey, we're not going to talk about the money, we're not going to talk about where it comes from, and you're saying you kind of raise up your employees, and that erases the entitlement.
It does, and you can imagine entitlement to earning is not a light switch. It's not like, oh, you know, suddenly it's got to be over time sort of reinforced, and it's like, you know, water over a rock kind of thing. It's just got to keep reinforcing it with the consistent message. And the disservice that we do by not sharing the information, I think, is that we feel like we're protecting them. And it's like, let's take kids, stay in that sort of that ballpark for a second. My daughter was, I don't know, 9 or 10 or we did the Pinewood Derby and
drove
the car and, you know, raced these other kids, and everybody got a trophy at the end. Mm-hmm. You know, the table had like 27 or 50 trophies or whatever, and each kid got. And so how does the winner doesn't feel that special, number one. Mm-hmm. So you start to say we're all equal, and it's not actually true, you know. And so there are winners and there are non-winners. That's our new language, right? And so the idea is with the idea of wanting to protect people, we're actually snubbing their ability to grow. And because when people fail, Gary, you've said this to me, like when you fail, when I fail, what happens?
I want to learn.
I learn. It's either win or learn, we always say. And so those types of philosophies, again, words matter, are really important. Failure is a good thing, and it helps people grow. So from the standpoint of not protecting people from failure, but allow them to stub their toe and to you know, have difficulty, it strengthens them. And it's the same thing in a work environment as well. And I mean, you throw a pandemic in the mix and all bets are off, right? And we make some incredibly difficult decisions, leadership decisions last year, every company did. And it toughens us up. and the folks who have the right mindset in terms of like what's good about this, start to really get creative and positive.
I heard the phrase, you know, what does this make possible?
Yeah.
You know, like, what does the pandemic make possible as opposed to what did it take from me? Have some great notes here. I want to jump into some of these questions here that we wrote ahead of time, actually. So one of the things is you say that you want readers to understand that when they're engaged 100% of the time through a company that has vision, it can be profitable. Like you're saying, it doesn't have to be either or. I mean, you can have vision, you can have engaged employees, and you can be profitable. Why do you think we think it's like you got to pick?
That's a good question. I think people may believe that profit is not generated by the whole organization. It's by a few folks. And my experience doesn't allow that to play out. It's everybody in the whole organization has different levers they pull every day, different choices they make, like just really tiny little choices in terms of if they're on time to work, right? Or you know, how much time they spend, you know, socializing versus, you know, working, you know, being focused, that kind of thing. And those decisions, all those decisions add up and drive either profits up or down. And the truth is, I think that companies that have really created a culture of engagement, mm-hmm. where they share some information and there's a mutual respect throughout the organization, not just, you know, us and them, but really thinking of the organization and using language like we instead of mm-hmm. I, they have much stronger profits. And it's actually the data plays out in employee-owned companies, which is really interesting to study. Employee stock ownership plans, ESOPs, where the employees not only think like owners, they truly are owners. They have higher levels of profitability. And the cultures typically are more fun. And by that, I mean, you have stronger loyalty, longer-term folks, because they see a longer path for themselves at the organization through their ESOP, which is an entitlement and a retirement plan. And they also usually instill sort of shorter term profit sharing plans to help drive shorter term behavior as well. So in any event, the mix of that culture from fun to profitability to a clear vision creates a sense of simplicity for the organization and helps everybody understand or feel less stress, more certainty about what's going on in the business, and tends to help them address issues sooner and increase operational efficiencies and those types of things. So
that's so good. Wow. So you're saying that, you know, and as I read ProfitWorks, it totally changed my concept, because the two books are fantastic together.
Thank you.
ProfitWorks, I had always grown up in a church where it's kind of like, oh, it's Christmas bonus time.
Yeah, right.
So here you go. In other words, your reward is that you show up. And I read ProfitWorks and it was like, no, actually your reward should be performance. People that are watching this right now, this might sound like we're speaking German, you know, something. How do you get, what are some baby steps where you can make that shift for companies to start thinking about vision and profit versus you're here for 2 years, so you get X amount of dollars, you're here for 5 years type of thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first question in a workshop format that I've typically asked is I want you to put on the hat of an owner, you know, workforce, employees, and maybe it's a group of 30 or 40 folks. Put on the hat of an owner. What do owners think about? What do you guys think owners think about? And what are some of the things you think? I mean, you're an owner, but what are some of the things you think employees might say when they're asked to think about what an owner is thinking about all day long? What are they worried about? What are they struggling with?
You know, the stereotype of an employee would be, they're thinking about which golf course do I go on next?
Okay. Yes. Right. Right. Like free time. Right.
Right. Like, yeah. In other words, they're thinking about, you know, websites, and they're thinking about marketing. These types of things.
Sales, cutting costs, or, you know, getting new business, or opening a new market, or you know, maybe a new service or a partnership or something. They're thinking about all kinds of cash flow, you know, or who's not paying us, and who, you know, so they worry about all this stuff. And I say to the employee, okay, so take your owner hat off, put on the hat of an employee. What do our employees worry about? And they say, well, paycheck, you know, benefits, you know, doing my work. Do I have all the tools and the training I need to do my job? And when's, you know, when's Friday, you know, kind of thing. And they worry about free time as well. And I say, and what is that stuff on the left all about, that owner stuff? They say, well, that's about the company, the cash and risk and, you know, sales and marketing and so forth. And I say, what's the stuff on the right all about? Who's that all about? They say, well, that's me. All about me. And I say, you know, what we want is ProfitWorks is have everybody thinking not only about me, because me is important. Me is important. I am important. But me, that me stuff is important. But the we stuff is important. And if we can get people to care as much as an owner does about cash and risk and revenue growth and market share and costs and all that kind of stuff, we can take better care of the me, because the we is strong. And so that's sort of a dip a toe in the water type of psychology that's difficult to argue with. It's difficult to argue with. And I think it's Henry Ford said something like, if whether you believe it's true or not, you're right. Right?
Exactly. I know it's
you believe the workforce can't understand, you know, simple sort of income statement type of teaching, then you're probably right. It might not be good for you to do it. But if you have like a little wedge of uncertainty about that conviction, if you believe perhaps if I did it in a very simple way, maybe they could understand this, you start to open up a world of really cool thinking by your folks. And they, you know, one of the comparisons I suggest you do when you're teaching this is compare it to personal finance. You know, because everybody gets a paycheck, it's kind of like sales, you pay all your costs at home and you have a little bit of money left over. And if you're not satisfied with that, well, what do you do at home? You know, you might cut some costs. You might, you know, get rid of cable or change your phone plan, or you go out to eat less often and so forth. And though that type of thinking, if you can get the light bulb to come on with your folks, boy, they start to bring that into the work environment and they start to see that type of earning mindset as well. It's really fun to see.
Here's
time and commitment.
Here's an example. When I was a young kid working at a fast food restaurant, I didn't think like an owner, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't. You're a team.
No, you don't.
And, you know, but I remember the owner walking in. It was called Oscars in Milwaukee.
Okay.
And I remember the owner walking in, and there was some trash on the ground.
Mm.
Okay. And again, I was new there, but he went and he picked up the trash. And I thought, that's so weird. Like, why is he picking up trash?
Yeah.
Duh. I didn't get it back then. But if I would have thought like an owner, and let's face it, people who think like owners get promoted.
It's true.
Right? Right? So in other words, like, If you start thinking like an owner, and a lot of our team here, they're doing amazing. But
they do.
They think like that. They think, what would I need to say now? What links do I need to drop? Why do we promote people that think like owners, Alex?
Yeah. Well, when you said that, I went immediately to the person who's thinking like an owner is thinking at a higher level. Mm-hmm. They're thinking from a 30,000 foot perspective. I often use the metaphor of like running a business, and that whole journey of running the business is like the team who's in that business is chopping their way through a real thick jungle, right? And periodically they have to climb a tree and look to see, you know, are we headed in the right direction? Like, are we headed toward our vision? And then come back down and make a plan and go. Because otherwise they could be chopping, you know, their way through zigzags and going in circles and things. So an employee that can think and act like an owner is really climbing that tree. They're elevating their thinking, and they're elevating out of doing for a bit to think, and we want to increase that ratio of thinking to doing, so that people are in alignment. I also have a an image in my head of a company that's like they're rowing a boat, big boat, right? And everybody's got to grab an oar, and it does hint toward right people, right seat. But to the degree the folks who are rowing and really like, do they have all the tools? Do they have the training? Are they fit? Are they able to really do this in synchronicity toward, like, are we headed in the right direction? And that's where you get sort of leadership sort of saying, hey, we're headed. That's our North Star. Let's go there. And then all together ready, you know, stroke, it's that kind of thing. So it's fun kind of image metaphor to have.
Are there ever people who say, I'm content not thinking like an owner? I just want to work here. I just want to show up. I don't want to, you know, imagine how things could be better. What do you say about someone like that? I know this is edgy, all this stuff, but I think it makes for a great conversation. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And that's a, it's going to be a percentage, right, of the folks. I think as long as folks are living the core values that the organization espouses, which are 3 to 7 sort of guiding principles.
Oh yeah, we have them.
Against which they hire, fire, review, reward, recognize. As long as they are living and breathing the core values, not violating them, the seat that they're in, I mean, if they're like, I don't want to be engaged, I don't want to know all this stuff, you can still be what Kim Scott, who's an author, Radical Candor. She says they're rock stars, right? They're steady eddies. They're very predictable. They don't want to run the whole place, but they live the values and they're really great folks. Those are great people to have. Great people to have.
Interesting. It's kind of like, I mean, I think of a sports metaphor, and we just got done with the wrestling NCAA tournament. Sorry, I got to go off on this little tangent, but you're reminding me of it.
It's the season, right?
Yeah, but Iowa won this year, and Iowa has this team of like massive rock stars, but then they have a few, like you're saying, that, I mean, they won the whole thing, but a lot of their middle people, they didn't win first place. They didn't even go to the finals, but they're just solid and they pick up points. And you're saying as long as these people fit the culture and the core value.
Yeah.
You don't need a team of first place people all the time. Is that kind of what I hear you saying?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think there's gotta be the team work piece of it is so critical. Right?
Ooh, is that the third book? Team Works.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
I heard a different one in mine, but that's okay. Done.
We got Vision Works, we got Profit Works, and we got Teamwork. But maybe another one too.
Yeah. Well, the idea of the team, there's going to be different people bringing different skills to whatever team is together. And I think, you know, it gets into what we call GWC at US, right? Get it, want it, capacity to do that job. And as long as those are three yeses, you know, you've got somebody in the right seat. And if they're living the values, you've got right person, right seat, you've got a great teammate there. And so we want 100% right people, right seats in our organization. Everybody grabbing an oar and everybody asking, how can I help? And those types of things. And people believe sometimes in the early stages of this sort of cultural transformation that it's not possible to have 100% right people, right seats. And my experience is it is, and you'll know it when you have it because it is awesome. People walk into my session room here and I can see it on their face. They're like, we have no people issues right now, you know, and they're so excited. And so, and you know, perfection is not where we're going. That's utopia. We're going 80%, right? 80-20. And
I love it. So here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to give away a few t-shirts here. I love t-shirts that have good slogans on them. This is a shirt that reminds me of you, but it's called Be the Fire. Okay.
Love it.
So we're going to give away a Be the Fire to the person who's the most engaged. That means share this. I hear a lot of people saying this is gold. You know, you got people that are saying they love the Teamworks book that you're going to write now. So here's the point, folks. tag somebody, share it. Someone needs to hear this out there, and we want to celebrate Alex. I gotta highlight Alex's success here. This is just me speaking from my heart here. You have key people that I know that you are their implementer for EOS. I mean, I heard the name Alex Freitag, and I'm not just making this up. I heard this for years. Okay. Right. So, I mean, Chad, my buddy Chad, you know, with
Silverstein.
Chad Silverstein with what is the company called? Choice Recovery.
Yeah.
Choice Recovery. Megan, isn't it Megan with marketing?
Megan Troy.
Megan Troy. Mm-hmm. My buddy, we call him J-Lo. Jeff
Lannis.
You know, we got all these people that Alec Broadfoot. I mean, I heard your name for years, and just solid. You know, you got to talk to Alex. I think there's something about a person when their reputation precedes them. Mm-hmm. You know, when you don't have to meet someone and they tell you all about them, their reputation does that. Talk about what you do, because there's people right now that are hearing EOS. There's people right now that are, you know, I get to speak at the conference. I'm so excited. Thank you. You probably bribed the people to get me on.
Super. We had to get you in the side door. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. So give us the full perspective of EOS, what you do, how the books fit with your business, all that.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Kerry. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is important to me, and I'm glad. I'm really, really happy that I'm having an impact. I mean, it's like goosebumps type stuff, right?
And, yeah.
But you know, my path to now through all this, learned so much, you know, and it's like the Steve Jobs Stanford, you know, speech that he says, you can't connect the dots as you look forward, but when you look back, well, that makes sense, you know. And so in addition to being an EOS implementer, and I help entrepreneurial leadership teams get everything they want out of their business. And so that's, you know, vision, traction, and healthy.
Mm. And
so I work in this room, you can see, helping them. I usually do two or three sessions a week, and, you know, starting new clients as often as I can, and take them through a proven process. It's been around for about 20 years now. Mm. To help them get the vision out of their heads, get them aligned, and then build some muscle, some discipline, some accountability to keep them sort of making traction toward that vision. And within that, what I've seen is that the companies that are more transparent, that share more information, tend to go faster. And they also tend to be having more fun. They don't have two VTOs. You know, one has all the numbers on it they share with just the leadership team, and the other one has no numbers on it. It's just like core values and some, you know, three-year picture bullet points and things like that. And I said, tell me your biggest fear to sharing this VTO with your entire workforce? Well, they wouldn't understand it. Let's go down that path a little bit. So that's how the vision works sort of methodology.
Interesting.
I built a masterclass online, that companies can, learn how to teach this to their employees. It's almost like a train the trainer. So they watch a little video of Alex for 5 minutes or 10 minutes on the income statement, and they download a bunch of slides, and then they can put their numbers in and teach their employees.
Okay.
And it gives them a language. It gives them a sense of camaraderie around the VTO, so that they're saying the same thing. You know, I can't remember, Mark Twain said the problem with, I can't remember what he said, but we just have to say one thing. And that way we don't have to remember multiple things. Who do I tell what to? Does he know how many sales are we have? No, everybody knows.
It's like when you tell the truth, you only need to remember one thing or something.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
Something like that. Yeah. No, I get you. I get you. So I love what you're saying. I mean, you know, there's so much sideways energy in businesses. I mean, I'm a big fan of EOS, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
there it is.
Our friend Jill Young.
Yeah.
Is our implementer. But I'm going to ask Tanisha to start tagging. Tag Kelly Knight, tag Gino Wickman, tag Megan Troy, Chad Silverstein.
Yeah.
You know, all Tom Bauer. Let's tag Benj Miller and Chris White. I mean, yeah. There's this whole family of EOS. Why do you think EOS is growing so fast? And what do you hope your books do with the EOS brand?
That's great. That's a great question. EOS, I believe, works because it's simple. I mean, it just goes back to that one word. We're all going to go on our journeys. We're going to hit periods where we plateau. And generally, it's because things have gotten very complex. If you take it a business example, lots more customers, lots more employees, more products and services, mix in a pandemic, things are really complex. And so to the degree we can control the controllables, you know, simplify, and that's what EOS has done for 12,000 companies. It's probably more hundreds of thousands of companies from the standpoint of like there's a lot of self-implementing companies.
Yes.
And that simplification and the language that's built around EOS, like when I say GWC or IDS or
get it, want it, capacity, yeah. Identify, discuss and solve. See,
there you go. Yeah. So we're in like this tribe, you know, we have this tribal lingo and it bonds like a common language. If you go to Paris or something, you feel sort of outside, but if you speak the language, you go into a tavern or whatever, and you can start to interact with folks and you feel maybe part of it. So language is super important. And I think EOS provides that simple language around in a simple set of tools. And it, you know, there's nothing like super wild and crazy new about it, but it really is accessible for a sort of ADD addled, you know.
Yeah, it's almost like getting everybody playing from the same playbook.
Yeah.
You know? Right. Otherwise, you're like, hey, let's just play a sport and no one's playing with the same rules or any of that. So what do you hope in your book? Yeah, answer your question and then tell me about what your books are going to do too.
Sure. Yeah. The other thing I was going to say is that the process to go to get EOS into a company is proven. It's just, it works. And if you follow follow the steps. And so if you try to like put your own little twist on it, it makes it complicated. Number one, and then when your team reads the books, if the books aren't saying what you've been saying, then they're like, what's the right answer here? So we want to use the right terminology and all that. So the process really works well. So
good. And now your books, Profit Works and Vision Works. How does that overlay with EOS? What's your big vision? Where is Alex, going?
Yeah. I'm an EOS implementer at heart. So, I mean, that's what I do. And what I found, because I did it the other way, and I picture, again, I'm a big metaphor sort of imagery thing, but what I did originally trying to engage employees by teaching them business education and financial literacy and all that was putting the cart before the horse, I feel like. And so what EOS does is it's the horse. It's, you have to lead with the vision, because we can't get folks to align with a vision that we haven't defined for ourselves as business owners. And so EOS is a very simple way to define that vision and get the leadership team 100% on the same page first, and then eventually get that vision shared by all, everybody, 100% of the people. And so that's where that financial literacy piece can kind of come in. I also use the metaphor of like, locomotive, right? The EOS is the locomotive, and all these other pieces might be little boxcars, on that train toward maybe train works. There's another one.
Ooh.
That engagement, everybody's on board. Ooh, yeah. Can you keep going?
Everybody's on board. I like that.
The train. So in any event, that's how they kind of fit together.
All right. So here's my advice for you. Go on GoDaddy or wherever you get your domains and seriously think about your next few books and buy those domains just so you have them, because I really feel like, you know, teamworks, and then this could just be that whole brand where, right. I mean, it does, it works. Profit works, you know, vision works. So let's talk about the conference, EOS conference. It's coming in less than a month, or about a month exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's
right. Yeah. You still have some virtual tickets.
We do
available for sale. Yeah. Why would someone come, and who would be the right person to come?
Yeah, that's great. It's so this is year five for the conference, and Tom Bauer and I developed a conference, and we came up with the idea in 2014, but did the first one in 17. And so 17, 18, 19, and then 20 was suddenly virtual.
I was there. I came. Yeah. I loved it.
Huge growth experience for all of us. We kind of leveled up, but it was originally and always is directed toward companies that are running on EOS. And so it's leadership team members, it's people who are developing into leaders, it's owners, it's visionaries, integrators, all folks who want to learn. The three uniques, if you will, for the conference are connect, learn, and strengthen. Mm-hmm. And so connecting is from the standpoint of connecting with other companies running on EOS, because that's fun. That's the whole language thing is there. Mm-hmm. You're also connecting with a lot of other EOS implementers. We'll probably have, I don't know, maybe around 100, 130 implementers there this year, which is kind of fun. And learning certainly from the speakers. We have four keynotes, including Gina Wickman, who's the founder of EOS Worldwide way back in, 2000. And then, three other great keynotes sort of sprinkled out. And then we have concurrent breakouts. Those are 35 concurrent breakouts, of which you are one.
Hey.
And thank you for doing that and being super there. Excited, yeah. But it's directed toward entrepreneurial companies, maybe 10, 250 employees, somewhere in that range. Some are smaller and some are larger, but they are learners. They are sponges. They want to get more out of this. They see EOS and the potential of it and what it's done for them already, perhaps. And they want more. And so this is just, it's for people that are like uber, uber psyched about EOS. And so it's like a Disney World for entrepreneurs.
It is. But I love the clarity about everything that I'm hearing from you today. The GWC, in other words, folks, if you don't know this term, it's does the person get it, want it, and have capacity for it. That's clear. That's saying that not everyone's going to be a fit with your company.
It's true.
That's very clear. You say, when I asked you, what is our conference? You didn't say, the conference is for everybody who does business. You said it's for companies running on EOS. Yeah. Why do you think that less is more? Why do you think that when you're so clear with your value proposition statement, with your business, that you actually attract better people? What talk to me about that.
Yeah. The first place my brain went was, the concept of the long tail on that curve. It's just the niche. There's riches in the niches. One of my marketing professors told me, right? And so to the degree we're really intentional and specific about to whom we're directing our message, we can go so deep, 10,000 feet deep instead of, an inch deep in a mile, whatever that is. So that's the idea behind it. And that way, it's like the Southwest Airlines story, we'll miss you. If you don't fit, that's okay. Just don't come, it's so it's important. I think it helps us get our messaging very consistent and very simple. Yes. Because we're not trying to be all things to all people. We want it to be like, it's almost like a cult or a love fest, but it is a culture. It's a culture of like-minded entrepreneurial leaders and people who love being around visionary entrepreneurs. Yes. You might not be an entrepreneur, but you're there and you just love that feeling of freedom and capitalism and just drive and growth and passion and problem solving and risk taking. And so that's just fun to be around. So I'm actually the MC this year.
You are funny. Well, as well, because I heard you last year and I just kept laughing, which I didn't know you were that funny. So where do you get your humor from?
Probably my father, my parents are actually both very funny, but I did some acting in high school. Okay. and realized that I enjoyed it. And so after my first failed sort of attempt at a job, I drove to Los Angeles from Connecticut, where I was living, and I pursued an acting career, but it got into improvisational comedy.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so that's like a new little to you know, something new about Alex.
Comedy works.
Was it comedy?
Comedy works.
That's right. Exactly. So, but it was a really, it was a powerful lesson for me. I decided not to pursue it after about a year or so. But as I look back again, connecting the dots, you know, I get to do improv all day long with these teams in here. I don't know, like one team broken and, you know, needs help in a big way. And others are like just cruising and they need different kind of help. And boy, I can just pivot and dance and, you know, kind of help them get what they want. Just using this sort of this arsenal that I have now in my.
Awesome, man. Wow. I never thought of that. So your EOS implementation is your workshops are almost improv. I mean, you have a plan, but then like anything, there's organic stuff that comes.
Yeah. One of my coaches is Michael Alasso, who's a speaker, and he uses the phrase structure freeze creativity. And when we have a session, we have an objectives, we have an agenda, but we need to go where the client needs to go. And so that sort of loose structure allows us to really listen to the client and understand what they need right then. What tool should I be teaching?
So good.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, here we got a few questions and we're going to go in a lightning round here. Okay.
Sure. Okay.
You mentioned several mindsets that are critical for a business owner to have this type of system to work in their company. What about those mindsets?
Yes. But in the back of the book, there's a mindset scorecard and it's also online. It's at profitworksllc.com. And then I think you'd go to like books, go to books and then you can find them. It's a mindset scorecard, but it has 8 mindsets. And you know, one of them is around transparency and there's a 1 to 12 scale. And there are different descriptions of what a 1, 2, 3 is and a 4, 5, 6. It comes from Strategic Coach, actually, Kerry. So I developed it within their sort of platform. But the mindset kind of is a sort of a self, like a thinking exercise for the entrepreneur to say, where am I on the transparency, you know, comfort level? And if I'm a 4, I want to be a 9, you know, or a 10, you know, that kind of thing. So they can start to really think about their thinking a little bit. Well, that's one of them. How disciplined are they about data? How disciplined are they about an operating system? Do they really believe and care about people? Do they believe people matter? You know, that's really important. When I'm looking to get started with a company, if I believe it's somewhat of a dictatorship, I might not feel like they're a good fit for me. The teams that I love working with are people that really care about people. So it starts to sort of take a step into that culture realm for me. So, and then there are a few others, but those mindsets are really important, I think, for us to know. And if we're not where we want to be, then how do we move toward getting there? So
that's good. All right, 2 more questions. Okay. What are some specific examples that companies use to build trust and credibility?
That's great. Well, we mentioned the state of the company meeting. I think that's one from a trust standpoint. Number one, it's consistent. It's methodical. You know, it's 4 times a year and you're just coming up for air and you're just telling them past, present, future, where have we been, where are we going? And I think that creates trust. It creates credibility. I think a lot of times, you know, the workforce just wants to know, do we have a plan? What's the plan? And if you've got a plan, share the plan with me and I'll probably enroll in it. And I want to, you know, I just want to know you know, have some confidence. And so there's credibility there, I think, within that. So I think it's really important, even if it's not quarterly, some teams do it twice a year, others do it monthly, but just get into a rhythm of communication with the workforce that builds trust and builds credibility. And it actually might allow you to be more transparent as you get comfortable with it. And so that's one. I think from the standpoint of trust building is having an issues list in EOS. We have the L10, the level 10 meeting, and there's issues lists in there, and there's places for people to have a forum for expressing either frustration or ideas, that kind of thing. So those are a couple of examples.
Love it. Love it. All right. And then final one here. Can you talk a little bit about discovery and how you bring that into what you're doing now?
Oh, my discovery. Yeah. I alluded to it early on, but it was really the idea of the cart before the horse. That I was trying to engage a workforce in a vision that didn't exist.
Yes.
You know, it's like, oh my gosh, we need an operating system. And Tom and I went out looking for an operating system, and we were able to find, you know, EOS. And so that allowed us to say, oh my gosh, this has to be the start. And that was the big aha, is in order to enroll people in the vision, the leadership team has to be in agreement on that vision. And so okay. It really was just sort of a beautiful kind of like relief to get that lined up.
I love it. So let's give Be the Fire shirt out, Tanisha. So go ahead and type in who we're mailing that to, and please get the address. Your book is out on Amazon. I do want to share the page. We're dropping in links right now for your website, all that stuff. Ooh, is the audiobook even out already?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now. So I love audio. How was it to even redo the audio? Was that a good thing?
It was painless. Yeah. I found that my family and I can laugh in it, very big laughs, if we slow it down to like 0.5 when you're listening to it. It sounds a little drunk.
That's so good.
But it is on Audible. I re-recorded it, and
yeah.
So it fits nicely. It's a short read. It's probably 45, 50 minutes. You know, cover to cover. But there are some little exercises, some thinking things in there that might slow you down a little bit. But I think it's important to, you know, take the time to really explore this before you dive in. And
came out.
That
the book is brand spanking new. Just came out. Love it. And again, folks. Endorsed by Gino Wickman, many others as well, but Awaken the Earning Mindset, Bridge the Missing Profit Link, and Cultivate Untapped Potential. Is there anyone who's too small of a company to get this? Or would you say to the person who's a solopreneur, like, now's the time to actually get this?
I think absolutely. There's application for a small, very small business. I mean, even if you're thinking about, Carrie, like a 2-3 person team needs to be 100% in alignment. They need to be on the same page. Like, it's a dance, right?
Yes.
So to the degree they can pull some nuggets or some best practices out of there, I think it's a win. So, and ideally, I mean, not everybody wants to go to the moon. It might just be, we want to be stable and profitable and have a lifestyle business, but we want to have fun while we're doing it. And, so I think that'll help them as well.
Fantastic. Alex, it was an absolute blast. We dropped in, your website, the books. We got Instagram, you're over there, LinkedIn, Facebook. Folks, reach out to Alex. You know, certainly as an implementer is probably one of the most intense things they can do, but then reading your book is probably one of the lowest commitments. Is that correct?
Easy entry. Yeah, that's
easy entry.
Dipping a toe in. That's
okay.
Happy awesome. To help. And thank you, Carrie, for all you do. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for being here. Folks, have a great day, and go get VisionWorks today. We'll see you.
See you later.
Thanks so much for listening to the Igniting Souls podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Show up, filled up, and become a member of the tribe. Visit us on the web at carrieoberbrenner.com. Remember, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire.